I think we'd all say I'd rather have Jesus than any earthly possession. What a blessing to have faith in our Lord and believe that we are celebrating His birth at Christmas time. As Christians who have a hope in Jesus, who believe that He came into the world to die for our sins, it is such a wonderful occasion that we can celebrate Christmas. And I know to the unbelieving world, that's the very reason they don't like Christmas. They like everything that's in the celebration, you know, the tinsel and the toys and all of that. But they don't like Christmas because the Word has Christ in it. They don't like Christ. So those of us who believe and have a hope in Jesus, they'll never understand us, will they? Because we do rejoice that this is a religious holiday coming up on Wednesday. It was started as the celebration of the birth of Jesus, and for many of us, it will always be that. And I'm thankful it's that way. I've read in your hearing this morning from Matthew's Gospel, the 9th chapter. I read verses 32 and 33 to focus today on verse 33, and that's on page number 10. Matthew chapter 9, page number 10 in the Pew Bibles. It says in verse 33, "And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, It was never so seen in Israel." And that's an interesting statement, and I want to share some thoughts on it today. Would you join your hearts with me in a moment of prayer? Our dear God, and our gracious, loving Father, who sent your only begotten Son into the world to live without sin of his own, but to die for our sin. What a hope we have in Jesus today. Were it not for him, there would be no heaven for any of us. If he had not come and saved us, we could never have saved ourselves. Our natures have fallen in depraved nature, a nature of sin. So often we fall into the sins which are disobedience to your word, your laws, your will. But we have a hope in Jesus, for he died for sinners. He died to save us from the penalty of our sin. And Lord, this morning in this worship service, we want to honor you as God, our Father, who sent your only begotten Son into the world, born of the Virgin Mary. And we want to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ because he loved us so much. He was willing to endure it all, even to be nailed to a cross and there to die for our sins. So, Lord, as we are anticipating Christmas Day on Wednesday, this Lord's Day, we've come to worship and praise you. And I pray that you'll tune every heart here today, that we may be focused upon Christ in our thoughts, and that we might think about him in some ways that will carry on through Christmas Day. Lord, do bless each one here. Bless each home. And Lord, help us to stand and be lights to the world and salt to the earth. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The statement that is made in the last of this verse is what I want to focus on today. It was never seen, so seen in Israel. In this particular chapter, this is the fourth miracle in a series of miracles that are coming along. There are miracles in the preceding chapter. This chapter is filled with miracles. Why? Because Jesus was at that point in his public ministry on this earth that he was going around performing miracle after miracle after miracle to display his power as God manifested in the flesh, as 1 Timothy 3:16 tells us. So in the beginning of this chapter, there was a man who had palsy. And they let him down through the roof into the room where Jesus was, and he was divinely healed. He was on his way to the house of Jairus, whose daughter was critically ill, and his journey was interrupted by a woman who had a disease, an issue of the blood that she had had for many, many years. And so he heals her of that blood disease, And then by that time, they've come and said, no need to come. Jairus, your daughter has died. But Jesus went anyway, and he raised her to life. And now we come to two blind men that just precedes this lesson who were given their sight. They were healed. And now in this lesson, there is a man who is dumb, who cannot speak. In other words, when it says dumb here, it has nothing to do with his mental faculties, nothing to do with intellectual abilities. It means that he could not speak. The old deaf and dumb meant you couldn't hear and you couldn't talk. That's the connotation of it here. This man could not speak. And the important thing to notice is that it was due to the fact that the devil had made an attack upon him. Now, I know there's a lot of people who would laugh about that and say, well, you know, you're talking about something mighty strange there now. If you read the Bible and if you believe God's word, the devil finds great delight in causing us trouble. I hope you know and understand that today. Who was it that took everything Job had, even his health? Who was it? It was the devil. The Lord allowed the devil to do it, but it was the devil who wanted to destroy Job. It wasn't God who wanted to destroy him. In fact, God wouldn't allow the devil to destroy him. God gave him back twice as much as the devil took away. Because God is the source of our blessings, and the devil is the source of our suffering and misery, if I may put it that way. You'll find in the Bible a number of people that had demonic problems. And I have no way to know how many are going on in the world today. I do think there are some things. There are some people who are so mean. I'm just being honest. They just downright mean. They'll kill their own mama or daddy. I mean, they're just mean to the core. And I don't know but what the devil is involved in that. I have no way to know. But I do know about this one. The devil was involved. I can tell you there's some others in the Bible that had the devil at the core of their problem, I can tell you that. Because you remember there was a Syrophoenician woman and her daughter was grievously vexed of the devil. There was a man whose son sometimes were cast into the fire and sometimes in the water trying to destroy him. It was the devil. The Bible tells us that. Jesus healed that young man as well. And then there was a man we know as Legion because he was possessed of so many devils. He was just a wild and crazy man. Nobody could control him. Lived in the graveyard, the tomb, among the tombs, till Jesus came along and healed him. So there are times when the Lord delivered people from the power of the devil. And may I say this, when he died for our sins, he delivered us from the power of the devil in the greatest form and fashion possible. So here is a man who cannot talk. I can only imagine that there were 1,000 things he wanted to say to loved ones, but he couldn't talk. He couldn't say anything. And the Lord cast the devil out of him, pushed Satan away from him, and he could begin to speak. Oh, I'm sure there were many things he'd been wanting to say for years. He went home and said. But to notice, once he was able to speak, the multitude, those people who witnessed it all, they marveled. They were amazed that this could happen. And here's what they said. It was never so seen in Israel. In other words, we have never seen anything like this. That's an amazing thing when you think about it. Now, in the book of 1 Kings, and I'm just going to go back there and just glance back a few minutes because I want you to fix in your mind, I'm going to be talking to you today about his miraculous birth, the miraculous birth of Jesus. And I know you may be thinking, well, what in the world does a dumb man being able to talk, what in the world does that have to do with the birth of Jesus? Well, please stay with me for a little while and I'll try to explain it. But in order to tie together everything that I've had on my mind and heart in my studies, in the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 3, we encounter a man whose name was Solomon. Remember Solomon, the wise man? All the wisdom that God gave him, you know why he's such an exceptionally wise man? when God said to him, as he was going to become king of Israel, God said, ask me something for something you want. And you know what? He did not ask for money. You know, that's what a lot of people would ask for. I want to be rich, God. I want to be rich. But he didn't ask for money. He didn't ask to live a long life either. A lot of people would have. They said, I want to live as long as Methuselah. Let me just keep on living. He didn't ask for that. You know what he asked for? He asked for understanding, that he might have a wise and discerning heart, and that he might be able to lead the people in a good way. That's what he asked God for. And I'm just kind of giving you the scenario of it all. The Lord said, because you didn't ask for these other things, I'm going to give them to you anyway. They're going to be a bonus to what I've given you. But listen to this. In verse 12 of that third chapter, the Lord said, behold, I have done according to thy word. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart. Now listen carefully. Here's what I came after. So that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. In other words, God said to Solomon, you're going to be the wisest man who has ever lived on this earth. There will be no one who ever lived before you who was as wise as I'm going to make you. And God is saying, I'm going to make you so wise, there will be nobody who will ever live on this earth who will be any wiser than you are. Now, we all know the sad end of his life. Got caught up in idolatrous worship, drifted away from the God who had so richly blessed him. But while he was walking in the blessings of God, I tell you, there was none his equal in the wisdom that God gave to him. And that's what I want you to see today, that God is the God of great things that happen only once. And those people said, we've never seen anything like this before. We have never witnessed an individual who could not talk by the power of Satan, and now he is able to talk. Why, that is so marvelous that we've never seen anything like just a once-in-a-lifetime thing to witness. Did you know that God, by his power, has done some things, as he did with Solomon, that come only once and never are repeated again? Are you aware of that? You think about that? You say, well, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, I'm going to give you some examples of what I'm talking about. The Bible tells us in the beginning of the Bible, in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. How many times has he created the heaven and the earth? One time. There was a flood, but it's never been recreated. It simply dried out. It's never been recreated. God created the world only one time. Now, it will be destroyed by fire one day. But we'll be up in heaven. We won't be here for that. But he only created the world one time. Now, in the book of Genesis also, there's a man named Abraham and Sarah, his wife. And we are told that something happened to them that was a once and never to be repeated again incident. And you will read it in the 17th chapter of the book of Genesis and verse 17, if you want to make a note of that. God tells us that when Abraham was 100 years old and his wife was 90 years old, God gave to them a biological son named Isaac. Now, I have been told of a man who fathered a child biologically when he was almost 100 years old. But I want to tell you something, brothers and sisters. I've never read of, nor have I ever heard of, a woman who gave birth at 90 years of age. Has any of you ever heard of that? I don't think so. And I'm going to tell you this. I really don't believe you'll ever hear of it, because that was one of those one-time things that God did. Well, we'll move on out of Genesis to some other things. The Bible tells us, and nobody but God could have done it, there was a time when the enemy, the Amalekites, were fighting with his people, And they needed a longer time to drive back the enemy and defeat them. And so God caused the sun and the moon to stay where it was. God just pulled it to a halt and stopped it right where it was. And it stayed in that position for about a day before it resumed the day passing and the setting of the sun and the rising of the moon. You can read that in the book of Joshua chapter 10 verse 13. That it stopped for about a day. Only once in all the Bible will you find that. It was never ever repeated by God again. Just one time He did it. Hezekiah was a man very faithful to God. And God sent word by his prophet Isaiah that he'd get his house in order. He's going to die and not live. And he wasn't ready to die. And he turned to the wall and he began to pray to God and say, I've tried to serve you. And God heard his prayer and God answered his prayer. And God turned Isaiah around, told him to go back and tell him, I'm going to give him another 15 years to live. And the sign that I'm going to give him is that the sun on the sundial of Ahaz is going to back up 10 degrees. And when he sees that sun back up 10 degrees, in other words, God was literally going to reverse the cycle of the earth and its rotation for 10 degrees and then let it resume its spin on its axis. You say, can God do that? I tell you absolutely, brothers and sisters, if God can say, let there be, and it came into being by His word alone, then God surely has control over it. But only one time in all the Bible did God ever do that. Only one time did it ever occur. In all the history of man, I believe it'll just be that one time that God did it. I'm going to give you two others. It's not quite that significant, but they're important. Do you remember when three Hebrew men were cast into a fiery furnace heated seven times hotter because they would not bow to Nebuchadnezzar's idol God? They trusted in their God. And I want to tell you something, brothers and sisters. If you'll read in the book of Daniel chapter 3 and verse 25, you're going to find that they saw four men walking around. And Jesus was the fourth one. And the form of the fourth was likened to the Son of God. That's who it was. Never before then, nor since then, do we have the record in Scripture that that ever occurred. But it occurred one time. And God recorded it for our faith. The sixth chapter, Daniel is thrown for his faith into a den full of hungry lions. Did he survive it? Yes, he did. Because God sent an angel that night, and that angel locked the jaws or closed the jaws of those lions, and as hungry as they were, they couldn't even bite him. And there in the morning light, when they went to check on him, assuming there'd only be a pile of bones, there's Daniel sitting there. They take him out. And the men that manipulated it were then cast in. They did not fare so well. The hungry lions destroyed them. Brothers and sisters, has that ever happened again? Nothing in the Bible says it ever happened before that. And nothing ever says that it's happened since then. And I don't believe it will ever happen again. I believe it's one of those one-time things that God did. Now, you think I'm just rambling around, I'm sure. But I'm not. There's a point to what I have on my heart. If you see those one-time events and you have faith to believe and embrace them, there is one more one-time event. And you know what it is. His miraculous birth. That Jesus Christ was actually, yes He was now, listen to me, He was actually born of the Virgin Mary. I believe that. The world out there think I'm crazy or stupid or something, but I'm going to tell you, there's faith in my heart. I have to believe that. If I can't believe God could do that, I'm going to tell you, I can't believe God made a heaven, and I can't believe that Jesus will come and get me and take me to heaven. It's all bound in here, brothers and sisters. And if some of it isn't true, what can you hope in? How can you trust in anything being true if part of it isn't? That's what the world wants to tell us, to have smorgasbord religion. Pick and choose what you want and just let the other go by the wayside. I tell you, no. Believe it all. It's God's inspired word. Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary. She didn't understand it herself. She said to the angel of God, "How can it be, seeing I know not a man?" She'd never had intimate relationship with any man. And yet she gave birth to the Son of God. And it had to be that way, because if he had had an earthly father, he'd have been born just like the rest of us, with depravity and sin in our nature. But he didn't have any of it, because God was his father. The Holy Spirit caused him to be conceived in Mary. It was a miracle of the God who made heaven and earth, and all those one-time things, God brought them to pass to show us. It's kind of like God's preview in his word to say, you notice all these one-time things now, because I'm going to do another one-time thing before it's all over. And you know what it was now, don't you? Only one time did God bless a virgin to bear a son, a child on this earth. It's not nature. Not nature's way. It's not the natural way things are done. It's not the biological thing. It's not the way normally people are born. But God did a one-time thing in that his son had a miraculous birth and was born into the world without any sin of his own and with a body of flesh that had no sin. Now, I know there's some people in the world say, well, I don't understand why in the world that was so important. God lives forever. That's why it's so important. God has forever existed. God will forever exist. Can I understand that? No. I tell you why, because everybody I know lives and dies. And if time goes on, I'm going to die too. I can't imagine someone who can live and live and live and live forever and ever and never die. Except my faith tells me one day in heaven's glory, I'll live forever and ever and ever and ever with God in heaven's glory. And there won't be any end to that either. That's the marvel of God's amazing grace through his Son, Jesus Christ. That Jesus could come into the world born of the Virgin Mary. People don't have to understand it. I don't have to understand how God created the world. I don't have to understand how a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman had a child named Isaac. But I want to tell you that was important because through Isaac was the covenant of promise. Oh, there was Ishmael, but she was with Abraham, man of bondwoman. A natural biological birth, you may say that. And there's where you get the Arabians, and there are just a lot of people that grew out of that, who for that reason trace back to Abraham as their father. But you see, it was not through Ishmael. God said the lineage was through Isaac, and Isaac came, born of Abraham and Sarah. And then he had Jacob and Esau, and it wasn't through Esau, it was through Jacob. God's lineage was going to be, and so it was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And again, you'll find it in the Bible, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. That was the lineage of God. And see, from Jacob, he had 12 sons, and they're the heads of the 12 tribes of Israel. God was bringing into existence through that lineage the Jewish nation, and out of the Jewish nation and of the lineage of David among the Jews, the Messiah would be born, who is Jesus Christ our Lord. Yes, he was a Jew, but I tell you, he's our Savior. And God was working all that out. I cannot explain it all to you. You know, I reckon one reason is because I've never needed it explained to me. I found it in this book, and all my life, far back as I can remember, I believed the Bible was true. I still do. So it says it here in the book. I just believe it. I'm so thankful God put faith in my heart to be able to do that. I just believe it. I don't have to understand. I don't know how God did it, except he tells us by the Holy Spirit she conceived and bare. child and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. God can do anything. Do you understand that? With God, all things are possible. With men, impossible. With God, all things are possible. There's the faith that anchors into God to say, I know God can do it. We've never seen anything like it, have we? The birth of Jesus. That's the reason I'm lifting this. We've never so seen it in Israel, nor anywhere in the world, nor in the world at large in time or today, nor shall it ever be. I'll be an awfully surprised man if there's ever another virgin birth. I don't believe there will be. I believe it was one of those one-time things God did. And all the others just kind of was a preview. It's coming, it's coming, it's coming. Just like, you know, when God ordained the law was a preview of what was coming. You ever thought about it like that? Those sacrifices they offered. Why did they offer sacrifices of animals to God? Because God was pointing to the coming of His Son, who would be the last dying sacrifice. He would die for our sins. Why'd they shed their blood? And it was specific by God to do it. Once a year, on the Day of Atonement, under the law of Moses, under which the Jews lived. I don't know whether they lived that close to it now or not. I don't know. I don't really know anyone to ask. But they did in biblical times live by the laws of Moses as Jews, their covenant with God. Why did God tell them that on the Day of Atonement you're to offer the sacrifice, you're to take the blood, and the high priest, not just anybody, it had to be the high priest. Why? There was only one high priest at the time. And that one high priest would take that blood into the most holy of holies and would sprinkle it upon the mercy seat, which was considered by them the presence of God, as to prefigure and point to the day when Jesus Christ would die on the old rugged cross, shed His precious blood as an atonement for our sins. You see, God was just, in all of this, God was pointing to what was to come, pointing to His Son coming, pointing to the Lamb of God dying for sinners, pointing to Jesus shedding His blood on the cross. God was pointing, in other words, to say, I planned it. I executed it. It came like I said. Don't doubt me, but believe and trust me, because that's the way I planned it. One time, and one time alone, a woman conceived without a man and was born of her, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is said in Galatians 4, verse 4, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, not a woman and a man, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. One time. Never seen it like that before. Never going to see it like that again. One of those marvelous, one-time, glorious events that only a sovereign, matchless God can perform. So we stand in awe today as we look back at the birth of Christ by faith and in the Scriptures to say, like those people did, we've never seen anything like it before, and we're never going to see anything like it again. I want to close my sermon today with three simple thoughts drawn from all of this. Number one is the uniqueness of Jesus Christ. Nobody else. I don't care what religious leader founded what religion in the world. None of them ever came born of a virgin. None of them lived, died, and rose and ascended to heaven's glory and is even alive today, sitting at the right hand of God, making intercession. None. He's the only one who did. I don't mean that to be cruel to anybody. I don't say it in any demeaning way. I just tell you there's not another like Jesus. Never has been, never will. The uniqueness of Christ means that He is the only Savior of sinners. And the Bible tells us neither is there salvation in any other. Not in any other. No other man. No other woman. No nation. No power. Nothing. Neither is there salvation in any other. And that's the name of Jesus, whereby we must be saved. And that's in Acts 4, chapter 12. 4, chapter, verse 12. The second thing, the uniqueness of Christ then brings about our uniqueness. Have you thought about that? How unique you are and how unique I am? If you've looked around, if you've noticed coming in the church, nobody looks quite like you, do they? There's some taller and some shorter, some grayer and some got darker hair. You know, there's some people that's happier and some sadder. I mean, we're just all different, aren't we? And yet there is a sense in which we are all one unique individual. By the grace of God, we have been made new creatures and we are all a little different. No two of us are just alike. That's the marvel of it. This unique Christ who died and paid our sin debt, by His grace, we are saved, new creatures, and we are all unique as well. Remember, Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace was not bestowed upon me in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. So Paul is saying, I am what I am by the grace of God. You are too. You are what you are by the grace of God. We're all just a little different. But we're all saved in the same grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're all unique in ourselves. So let's not criticize each other too much for being a little different. We all look a little different, talk a little different, think a little different, act a little different. But you see, there is this uniqueness. We are one of a kind. As our Lord was one of a kind, we are one of a kind in the grace of God. And the third thing is, what we do for others is one of a kind as well. James 1:22, and I've cited this verse so many times for you before, I hope you got it memorized by now. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Be a doer of the word. What you find God telling you to do in this book, do it. Do it. I preached a sermon recently. Just do it. And you know what? The way I live it out and the way you live it out may not be identical. I live out my faith and you live out your faith. But because we are uniquely different, the way we express our faith in our lives will be a little uniquely different for all of us. How we show compassion, how we forgive, how we love, and how we are kind to others, as we're taught in the Bible, might be manifest a little different in all of our lives because we are a little different. And so the unique Christ, by God's grace through Him, we are saved and we are unique, all a little different. And the way we live and the way we treat others will be just a little different. You may show your loving kindness in one way. I may do it in another. But that's the variety that comes because we're all unique. And the way we live our faith is a little different with all of us. But here's the point. May it all be to the glory of Jesus. No matter how we live it out, may we always do it to the glory of Jesus. May all of us who in our uniqueness before God live. May we all live before Him with one desire, that we may honor and glorify and praise Him and celebrate His birth this Christmas, because He is the one truly unique one. Never one before Him, never one since, never will be. Our Savior, one day in heaven's glory, we'll live with Him forever and rejoice in His presence. May God bless you, keep you in His loving care, and grant you a very joyous and merry Christmas when Christmas Day comes. by reflecting back upon what Jesus means to you, the uniqueness of our Savior, and the hope we have in Him because He came to die for us. God bless you, is my prayer.